You are listening to the Music and Ministry Podcast. Well, hello and welcome, everybody. We are so glad that you joined us today. My name is Stephen Reed, and I am part of the team here at Music and Ministry. And you know, as we have traveled from many different churches, it has been an education, to say the least, and the different styles of music, and more specifically, how to help people move from one style of music to another. And one of the things we've been often asked to do is to help people play in a modern style. And so today we're going to talk about a few of the key things that are different between a traditional style and a contemporary style. To begin with, one of the biggest differences is what information you are giving to your participants. In a traditional settings, there's usually some form of a hymnal, which, for those of you that don't know, is a book of songs with words and music written out in standard notation. And it feels funny to have to even explain what that is, but many people have never used one or even seen one. And so this book, you know, is for the instrumentalists to know what to play, but also for the people to know what to sing. So at the beginning of service or during the service, the hymn number is announced either by the bulletin or the worship leader will say it, or even there's sometimes a sign on the wall and everyone will turn to the right page and that song begins. Now this supposes a few things. Number one, that people can read the lyrics. And secondly, and maybe more importantly, is that people know how to read music. I can't understate how big of a paradigm shift that is. The traditional practice of worship requires people to have a basic understanding of how to read music. And you don't have to know the song because, you know, for many churches, their goal is to sing through an entire hymnal, you know, over 400, 500 hymns over the course of a few years. So the chances of you knowing the song really is next to nothing. But that's okay because you can read the music and join in. Now, this is the complete opposite to a contemporary setting, which they only display the lyrics and not the notes to sing. So how do you know what to sing? Well, you have to memorize it by repetition. And this puts a high priority on a song being catchy so that people can pick it up quickly because there is simply no other way to learn it. But really, both systems have their flaws. And it's great to provide people with written music so they can do more songs over the course of time, but that falls completely apart if you don't know how to read music, which I would say the percentage of people that can do that has and is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's either because music programs are being cut from schools and people, you know, just didn't grow up with hymnals. They're completely lost because they don't speak that language. And for the contemporary service, the number of songs is usually pretty limited or should be limited because you're basing everything on repetition. And the downside of that is then that repetition can sometimes become boring. So we have met a lot of different people that are kind of stuck somewhere in the middle of these two systems or ideas of how to do things, where they provide the music to people who just really can't read music, or they do a lot of material based solely on memorization. So to add to this challenge of helping people know what to sing is really one of the biggest difference in how we approach music differently between the traditional and the contemporary service. And that really is whether or not you play the notes you are singing along with the people, something that we would call a melody line. And in traditional music, this is always included, and it makes it really easy for people to pick up the tune because it's being played by one of the instruments. But in a contemporary service, it's left out completely. And I found this out at the home of our Gammy and Pappy, as we call them, Sean's grandparents. And I was playing through some worship songs on their grand piano and, you know, was really just kind of doing my best to play it simply. And then I heard from the other room, my Gammy, she said, "Could you please play a melody so I could sing along?" And really the funny thing was is that I couldn't do it and had never tried and never thought about it because, well, number one, I'm not skilled enough to do it at the moment, but it made me realize how different the styles are, and that really affects people's ability to participate. So I prepared a little example here of Amazing Grace in a traditional orchestration here. So take a listen. Now, here is a contemporary version of that using really the same instrument. Now, without having the vocals in there, you can really tell a big difference. Another big change in style is really the kinds of chords that you are going to play. The biggest difference is whether or not you play the middle note of a standard chord. Now, in traditional music, you would always play that third, that middle note of the chord. And, you know, if you're really going traditional, then your right hand would play the melody. Now, if you're not playing melody, then both hands would be making those chord changes. Now, the difference of that in the contemporary setting is that you leave out those threes almost all the time. And so instead of playing 1, 3, and 5, you would just play 1 and 5, which is kind of like a piano version of a power chord, if you will, on the guitar. So we would say that that sounds more open, and that's kind of a vague term, but we often say that each note in a chord has a personality that somewhat mirrors the kind of people that you have in your life. And, you know, let's say you are the one and the other notes are the kind of friends that you have. And some of those friends you get along with all the time, but sometimes you don't, or you wouldn't put them in one situation, take them to another situation. So like maybe some of your work friends, you wouldn't go and play sports with or hang out with your sports friends, or maybe there's only a few of those people that you would actually invite over to dinner. And so the fifth note of the scale or whatever chord you're playing is really like your best friend, the one person in your life that you can take to any place, any situation. You're not going to be like, oh, I don't know if they can handle it here, or they haven't seen me in this environment. And so that third note is kind of like your moody friend that sometimes is up, sometimes is down, and clashes with certain people, you know, and so you'd be a little nervous about them. And so in a modern setting, we often leave those notes at home. Another thing we do in a modern setting is that we leave a lot of the chord changes out, where you would potentially step down the chords or step up to chords. You just make it sound less complicated. And even some people will just leave their right hand on the same two notes for the entire song and then only make the changes with their left hand. So here's another example. So this is what it sounds like when you make chord changes with both hands and include the three. And then this is what it sounds like when you leave your right hand on the first chord, the root, on and just play a 1 and a 5, and then just make the chord changes with your left hands, again, leaving out that 3. So as you can tell, that sounds not crazy different, but enough different that it makes a big difference in how it comes across to people. Next up would be some of the sounds. You know, both groups, I think, like a piano, but an organ obviously sounds more traditional, whereas a modern setting would maybe use a pad sound, or a pad synth sound is what we call it. So here's an example of the church organ. And then here's that same chord progression with a pad synth sound. The last part I think we'll talk about today is really then how much do you play? So in traditional music in church, at least, you know, they'll have an organ and a piano, and they both pretty much play the exact same part. They play as much as they can, the rhythm, the chords, the melody, and if they're really good, they can slip in some counter melody and even possibly some complementary rhythm. But in a modern setting, you have a team now. So you, instead of having one person or two people playing the exact same thing, now you have more people and you have to split up those responsibilities, or sometimes you'll just leave them out completely for sections of the song. So many times a piano player in a modern setting will literally play the exact same two notes the entire song. And that sounds like a really dumb idea, but it works really well, and often just sounds great. So an example of that would be the Hillsong song, A Beautiful Name, which for the entire first verse is a pad sound playing one chord. Then the guitar comes in and the bass comes in and they start changing some of the chords in the next verse. And then the drums come in on the chorus to add some rhythm. Now, that sounds good, but that really presents a challenge to many of the musicians who have learned how to play their instrument so it sounds good by themselves. And it's not that they can't play simple parts. It really comes down to these two things. It's just that they don't know that they should, or they don't want to out of boredom. Which, as a side note, we just put up a 45-minute training video on YouTube that we made a few years back, and it covers a lot of these basic orchestration arrangement issues. So you can look it up on YouTube under Music and Ministry, or you can check the link out on our musicandministry.co page, and you can find it out and believe it would be good for you to listen and maybe even listen with your team. So as you might have already figured out as we've been talking through this thing, there are some subtle differences that really have big implications in how you approach, you know, number one, who is playing, number two, what they're playing, and then third, like how do you help people participate by either song selection, how many songs you're doing, and then melody support, you know, whether or not you're playing the melody along with. And depending on which style you want to use, you have some challenges and, of course, you know, the advantages of those different styles. So I hope that gives you some insight into a challenging situation for many churches and ministries. And always, if there's anything that we can do for you to help you along your way, please feel free to give us a shout out, an email at musicandministryconference@gmail.com. Well, until next time, this is Stephen Reed, and we wish you the best.